Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 86 responsively. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name.
I will thank you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and glorify your name forevermore.
For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the pit of death. But you, O Lord, are gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and full of kindness and truth.
Turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the child of your handmaid. Show me some sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame. Because you, Lord, have helped me.
Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in the hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we will wait for it with patience. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. This past week, about 700 pastors and deacons of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America gathered in Phoenix, Arizona. The community welcomed the gathering with so much warmth that the organizers invited the ELCA Foundation to sponsor giving a water bottle to every participant and registrant. Rich worship, powerful preaching, challenging Bible study, and guided small group discussions filled that convention center. So many ministries and organizations offered important information in the interaction center. It wasn't quite as cool as at youth gatherings, I have to say. No zip lines. With pure joy, I joined four other former students for dinner with Craig Nesson, one of my favorite professors. Workshops offered so many possibilities. Personally, I attended workshops entitled Bold, Loud, and Joyful, Raising Transgender and Gender Expansive Youth in Faith, and Building Your Church Children in Worship Toolkit, and There Are No Children, Engaging Children and Their Parents, and Engaging Christian Nationalism in Your Congregation. At that last workshop, during the discussion time, a colleague and friend related the story of building a friendship with a neighbor. As a parent whose children shared interests with that neighbor's children, this colleague spoke of the realization that her neighbor had joined a homeschool organization that promoted Christian nationalist ideology. As a church professional, this colleague had developed as part of her ministry efforts to address the white supremacy and racism and xenophobia that Christian nationalism represents. Listening to her story evoked images from the parable this week. Jesus continues his process of sharing stories, parables that compare life experiences with the reign of God. In an agrarian culture, Jesus uses stories that make sense to the people. What we miss in the translation is that those weeds are a particular kind of plant. Bearded darnel. Darnel looks and behaves so much like wheat that it cannot be distinguished from the wheat until both have matured. Indeed, darnel cannot survive without human assistance. In large amounts, it can be deadly for humans. It survives by getting collected with the wheat, stored with the wheat, and planted with the next crop. And so it bears the identity as a mimic crop. All of this reminds the listener that no matter how clean one thinks the seed is, a quite high probability exists that companion or mimic seed still got in. Of course, when one cannot tell the difference between the good plants and the weeds, trying to eradicate the weeds bore grave danger for the beneficial plants. So the farmer's response to let them grow and sort it out in the end follows closely with what locals would have known. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Among the faithful live people whose reality, worldview, and perspective is contrary to the reign of God. Such beliefs and actions run counter to the promise of the gospel. While nuanced definitions of Christian nationalism exist among many researchers, they all coalesce around some core realities. There is a statement from a group called Christians Against Christian Nationalism, and it says, "Christian nationalism demands Christianity be privileged by the state and implies that to be a good American, one must be Christian. It often overlaps with and provides cover for white supremacy and racial subjugation." Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton has signed this statement. People often conflate nationalism with patriotism. Christian nationalism plays on notions that initially look like good ideas. However, when taken to the consequences of those micro decisions, the outcome threatens the well-being of whole swaths of culture and community. At one point, at one level, the reign of God is like this field where good and malevolent have grown up alongside one another. But wait, there is more. Apparently, oats and rye started out in similar lives to that of the bearded darnel. Over time, they became useful and healthy. One theologian suggests that in the reign of God, though first century followers of Jesus would not have known this, even that which can poison and cause all kinds of problems can become useful. Certainly, ideologies like Christian nationalism and their undying underlying white supremacy, racism, and xenophobia, accompanied by heterosexism, misogyny, and so much more, run counter both to the gospel and Jesus' witness that the reign of God opens the door to all people, all nations, all genders. So too, these ideologies run counter to national interests for the common good, as well as the witness of the Constitution. On one hand, let them live and let God sort it out in the end. At the same time, Following Jesus frees the faithful to seek the freedom and well-being of all people. The reign of God calls all people to repent of their tendency toward tribalism and parochialism and to work to expand the welcome in Jesus' name to include all people, and especially those who live under the shadow of systems that threaten their well-being. For those interested, St. Andrew's Lutheran Church will host a watch party for author Pastor Kenneth Wheeler as he is discussing his 2022 book, U.S., The Resurrection of American Terror, on August 24th at 7 p.m. in the conference room, unless so many show up that we need to move in here. For what it's worth, I too have signed the statement for Christians against Christian nationalism. You can too, as a starting place.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.